Huerta gives a Senate panel no timeline for the return of the Dreamliner. The first production Citation 10 rolls out, and another bill to prevent tower closures builds support. This is Aero News for Thursday, April 18, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation held a hearing Tuesday titled, quote, Aviation Safety, FAA's Progress on Key Safety Initiatives, end quote. The hearing was called to examine the consequences of sequestration on the FAA, the agency's efforts to implement safety provisions in recent FAA reauthorizations, and the status of the FAA and National Transportation Safety Board's ongoing investigation of the Boeing 787. The panel focused on issues relating to how the sequester will affect air traffic control operations, as well as progress being made to get Boeing's Dreamliner flying again. FAA Director Michael Huerta testified before the panel and insisted that the closure of the contract towers would not affect safety. But with 47,000 employees being required to take at least one unpaid day off every 2 weeks from April 21st through September 30th, and prolonged equipment outages resulting from lower parts inventories and fewer technicians, quote, travelers should expect significant delays, end quote, Huerta said. He also added there would be ripples felt by those who use other FAA services, such as aircraft manufacturers and repair facilities. Pilots could see delays in license processing and other approvals. On the issue of the Dreamliner, FAA Administrator Michael Huerta said that a decision on the Dreamliner will come, quote-unquote, very soon, according to a report appearing in Bloomberg News. Huerta said that while Boeing has completed flight tests on the new battery system, he is not ready to say when the 787 will again be in revenue service. Huerta said in his testimony, quote, the FAA is reviewing the test results and analysis and will approve the redesign once we are satisfied Boeing has shown the redesigned battery system meets FAA requirements, end quote. The first production unit of the new Citation 10 has been rolled out at Cessna's Wichita, Kansas manufacturing facility. First announced at NBAA in 2010, the new airplane is best known for its top speed of Mach 0.935, which Cessna says makes it the fastest civilian aircraft in the world. Scott Ernest, Cessna CEO, said, quote, speed is the reason for flight. It was true of Clyde Cessna in 1927, and it's true today. The Citation 10 is the perfect aircraft for customers wanting to move faster, be more efficient, and get where they need to be more quickly than ever before, end quote. The increased speed is not the only improvement for the flagship of the Citation fleet. The Citation 10 provides a lengthier cabin and a longer range of 3,242 nautical miles. The increased range translates into an aircraft which can easily handle the flight from New York to London. Employees at Cessna's Wichita manufacturing facility celebrated the rollout. Cessna expects certification later this year, with customer deliveries beginning shortly thereafter. U.S. Senators Jerry Moran, Republican of Kansas, and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, said their, quote, Protect Our Skies Act, end quote, bipartisan legislation to protect air traffic control towers and preserve aviation safety across America, has been co-sponsored by a bipartisan group of 30 senators, and the list continues to grow. The Protect Our Skies Act would prohibit the DOT from closing any air traffic control towers during fiscal year 2013 or 2014, including those that are operated by the FAA. A report published last summer by the Inspector General for the DOT found that the contract tower program was one of the most efficiently run programs in the entire FAA. The report also showed the specified towers in the FAA contract tower program were all operational in 2009, when the FAA received less funding than they will under sequestration. Senator Moran said of his bill, quote, Although we were blocked from saving these towers through the appropriations process, we still have the opportunity to protect aviation safety by passing the Protect Our Skies Act. The simple fact that the FAA is able to delay the closures until June shows that the agency's financial state is not as dire as initially projected. We can and should put politics aside and pass this common sense solution. End quote. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced Monday that USDA is extending its agreement to work with the FAA and other partners to help develop a viable biofuel for the aviation industry for an additional 5 years. The secretary signed the agreement called Farm to Fly 2.0 with Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood at the Advanced Biofuel Summit at Gaylord National Harbor in Maryland. The new agreement, which includes partners from the commercial aviation sector, follows the initial success of the 2010 to 2012 Farm to Fly initiative. It also supports clean energy technology, energy independence, and job creation, and is part of USDA's efforts to strengthen the rural economy. The federal government and its partners hope to support the annual production of 1 billion gallons of drop-in aviation biofuel by 2018. The FAA has certified the two newest members of the Falcon family of business jets, the Falcon 2000S and the Falcon 2000LXS. The approvals came just days after the aircraft received its EASA-type certificate. Unveiled in May of 2011, the Falcon 2000S is the new entry-level jet in the Falcon family. At Mach 0.80, the Falcon 2000S has a range of 3,350 nautical miles. The 4,000 nautical mile Falcon 2000LXS, announced in October 2012, combines the short field performance of the 2000S with the longer range capabilities of the 2000LX. The airplane will come standard with the EZ2 avionics suite and Falcon Cabin HD Plus entertainment system, and customers can specify the interior of their choice. The Falcon 2000LXS will replace the 2000LX by the end of this year. When Aero News continues, a new sports car inspired LSA, skydivers warn Obama's user fee is devastating, and the Thunderbirds have a new leader for 2014.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now. For Thursday, April 18th, I'm Glenn Moyer. Jalavan Airplanes of Czechoslovakia plans to introduce a new midline model of ultralight sport aircraft, the Skyleader 400. The airplane's sports car-inspired design, with new features such as side-opening canopy, aggressive cowling, and easily maneuverable landing gear, is targeted directly at sport aviation enthusiasts. The introduction of the new airplane adds to the existing production portfolio, which includes five aircraft types. The first fully flyable red racing color scheme prototype, Skyleader 400, will be on display next week at Aero Friedrichshafen in Germany. The prototype was designed and produced in less than 2 years, and the new aircraft was quietly unveiled on July 14, 2012, at a private event called Skyleader Day. Skyleader 400 is a two-seat, low-wing, all-metal construction airframe with a newly designed and shortened fuselage. Customers will have the option to choose from three equipment packages, starting from analog panel with Rotax 912 UL 80 horsepower engine, up to a full glass cockpit and the Rotax 912 IS 100 horsepower fuel injection, or the 914 UL turbocharged engines. The company says prices will be competitive with market standards. The order book will open on April 24, 2013. On April 11th, one day after President Obama unveiled his 2014 budget containing that new $100 per flight user fee, USPA wrote to the president explaining how such a fee would devastate businesses that operate skydiving airplanes. The new fee would apply to each flight by a turbine aircraft in controlled airspace. Ed Scott, USPA's executive director, said in the letter, quote, "It is clear that no one within the administration understands that turbine jump planes routinely make up to 25 flights per day. An operator with one turbine airplane could pay $2,500 each day in user fees. An operator with two aircraft could pay $5,000 each day, end quote. USPA pointed out that those same operators already pay between $158 and $263 per aircraft per day in federal fuel taxes on jet fuel. USPA described the new user fee as, quote, inequitable, duplicative, and requiring a new and costly bureaucratic process to assess and collect the fee, end quote. They also noted in the letter, quote, obviously, no business can survive new daily fees that run into the thousands of dollars. We respectfully request that you withdraw your aviation user fee proposal, end quote. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Bradley, 83rd Fighter Weapons Squadron Director of Operations at Tyndall Air Force Base, Florida, will become Thunderbird No. 1, the squadron's commander and lead pilot for the 2014 demonstration team. General Gilmary M. Hostage III, commander of the Air Combat Command, made the announcement earlier this week. Bradley's duties are twofold, including commanding a force of more than 100 enlisted personnel and 11 commissioned officers assigned to the Thunderbirds, along with leading all demonstration flights. Bradley will replace Lieutenant Colonel Greg Mosley. Other new officers announced include Major Scott Petz, an F-16 pilot stationed at Nellis Air Force Base, Nevada, and he'll become Thunderbird No. 3, the team's right-wing pilot. Captain Ryan Wick, an F-22 pilot currently stationed at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia, will become Thunderbird No. 6, the team's opposing solo pilot. Captain Joshua Larson, an F-16 pilot currently stationed at Shaw Air Force Base, South Carolina, will become Thunderbird No. 8, the team's advanced pilot and narrator. The team is still reviewing applications for the position of Thunderbird 9, the team's flight surgeon. An announcement will be made once the selection is finalized. The officer positions on the team are two-year tours of duty. By design, the position openings are staggered, allowing the squadron to maintain continuity of experience and leadership. In odd-numbered years, Thunderbird numbers 2, 4, 7, 10, 11, and 12 are replaced. The year 2014 will mark the Thunderbird's 61st season as the Air Force's premier jet demonstration team. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.